إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وكان الله بكل شيء عليما وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم مثلي ومثل الأنبياء من قبلي كمثل رجل بنى بيتا فأجمله وأحسنه إلا موضع لبنة من زاوية فجعل الناس يطوفون به ويعجبون له ويقولون هلا وضعت هذه اللبنة وأنا خاتم النبيين أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama ikram, respected brothers and elders, before I commence, really it would have been more ideal for my honorable ustad, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Radaul Hafsab, damat barakatuhum, a man of his caliber who is well acquainted with this fitna amongst other fitnas, to address us. And it is not tragic that he doesn't speak English, but rather it's tragic that we don't understand Urdu. Respected brothers and elders, perhaps this is first time jalsa that we are attending. So just to tie it up with the wonderful naad that was presented before us on the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, generally we attend jalsas the nature of which is the seerat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the habits, the qualities, the traits, the noble conduct of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This also would discuss the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam from a different dimension. In essence, as we know, it's a very vital article of our iman, a vital component of our iman, or rather iman in essence entails belief in Allah and belief in the oneness of Allah. Hence those that believed in Allah but did not believe in the oneness of Allah are also disbelievers. For example, the kuffar of Makkah, they did believe in Allah. Their disbelief was not because they denied the existence of Allah. They believed in Allah. The Quran testifies, وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ If you ask them who created the skies and the earth, they would answer Allah. If you ask them who sent down water, they will tell you Allah. They believed in Allah, but they did not believe in the oneness of Allah. That is why the talbiyah that they used to recite in Hajj also was, Oh Allah, you have no partners with the exception of the one that you always have. So because believing in Allah is equal, is important, and likewise believing in the oneness of Allah, that Allah is one and totally independent. In the very same way, belief in the prophethood of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a vital article of our iman, and coupled with that to believe in the finality of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he is the Nabi of Allah and he is the final Nabi of Allah. This is a very important aspect of our iman. As Qari Sahib recited the beautiful naad before us, just to perhaps elaborate on one, two aspects of the beautiful character, and then we'll develop without digressing from our topic, inshallah. In Sirat Mustafa, Maulana Idris Kandalwi rahmatullah alayhi has made mention that once the king of Yemen was traveling and he came to Medina, the former name of which was Yathrib, and with him he had 400 Yahudi ulama, and when they looked at Medina, they found that this was the description where the final Nabi will make hijrat. So they asked him permission that we would like to stay here and wait for that golden era where this Nabi of Allah would come and make his appearance on this earth. The king was very happy, and then he built a house for each one of them, and they decided to stay there, and he himself also built one house exclusively for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then he sang few couplets in the praise of Nabi alayhi salam. Shahidtu ala Ahmad annahu rasulun min Allahi barin nasam فلو مد عمري إلى عمره لكنت وزيرا له وابن عم، وجاهدت بالسيف أعداءه وفرجت عن صدره كل غم. That I testify that the final prophet of Allah, the ultimate being that is to come, is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If perhaps Allah extends my life to that time when the Nabi of Allah will come on this earth, I will be the first to accept his message, I will defend the truth, and I will suppress the forces of evil fighting with him. And then he built this house exclusively for Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When in due course the Nabi of Allah came, and then he came to Medina Munawwara, and every Sahabi was passionate that I be the host of Nabi alayhi salam. And the Nabi of Allah said, leave the camel, it has been commanded by Allah. And finally, the camel of Nabi alayhi salam comes and halts and stops at the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu anhu. Maulana Idris Kandalwi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, that house currently was in his possession. But otherwise, if you trace the history of this house, this was that very house which was built by the king of Yemen exclusively for Nabi alayhi salam. He then goes on to say, it would be correct to say that the Nabi of Allah lived in his own house and not the house of his sahabi. So brothers, a vital aspect of our iman is the prophethood of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How beautifully it was described in these couplets, whom Allah had perfected in every angle. شَهِدَ الْأَنَامُ بِفَضْلِهِ حَتَّى الْعِدَىٰ وَالْفَضْلُ مَا شَهِدَتْ بِهِ الْأَعْدَاءُ. The poet says, شَهِدَ الْأَنَامُ بِفَضْلِهِ. The creation in its entirety was compelled to acknowledge the excellence of Nabi alayhi salam. حَتَّى الْعِدَىٰ. Even his bitter enemies had to say, as much as we dislike him, you won't find a more honest man than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the poet says, وَالْفَضْلُ مَا شَهِدَتْ بِهِ الْأَعْدَاءُ. Indeed, the beauty of a man is not what his friends acknowledge about him, but what his enemies can accept about him. That makes the beauty of a man. مَا إِمْ مَدَحْتُ مُحَمَّدًا بِمَقَالَتِي وَلَكِمْ مَدَحْتُ مَقَالَتِي بِمُحَمَّدِي. The poet compiles couplets on Nabi alayhi salam, and then he says, it is not the good fortune of Nabi alayhi salam that I have praised him, but rather it is my good fortune that I have his blessed name in my couplets. Brothers, this fitna of laying claim to prophethood had not started few decades ago or in the recent years, but the roots of this evil had started in the very time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran says, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ. It is the collective aim of the forces of kufr to extinguish the light of Allah. Just recently, this is one fitna, many other fitnas are also emerging. The aqaid of our children, this is very important. When we say send them to the madaris and let them attend the makatib, brothers, the aqaid of our children is being saved and protected. If you study, as alhamdulillah, the Jamiat are responsible for inviting the noble personality of Hazrat Ya, the Jamiat syllabus that has been structured, alhamdulillah, and has been designed, is very encompassing in relation to the challenges that the ummah is facing. Personally, my interaction is there because we are teaching the syllabus. You take the book 7 of history, on page 50 to 55, there is one chapter exclusively discussing the false prophets. One chapter of our Jamiat syllabus, which alhamdulillah has been designed keeping these fitnas at mind. This is just not a foresight of any scholar, but rather the divine decree and the explicit prophecies of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The Nabi of Allah said, every fitna that is to prevail till the day of Qiyamah, Allah has shown it to me. And with regards to the fitna of people laying claim to prophethood, the Nabi of Allah was so explicit and emphatically he had mentioned, يَأْتُونَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَحَادِيثِ بِمَا لَمْ تَسْمَعُوا أَنْتُمْ وَلَا أَبَاؤُكُمْ. That, O my Sahaba, أَنَا الْعَاقِبُ الَّذِي لَيْسَ بَعْدَهُ نَبِي. I am the final prophet after whom no Nabi will come. But while I say I am the final prophet, let me tell you, many people will come on this earth and will lay claim to prophethood. They will present and produce before you such fabricated versions which have no tie with divine revelation. In fact, so beautifully Nabi alayhi salam says in the hadith that I quoted before you, which Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has made mention of, مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ مِنْ قَبْلِي كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ. Nabi alayhi salam says, my example and the example of the prophets that preceded me is like a person. Nabi alayhi salam likens it to a physical parable. كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ بَنَى بَيْتًا. Like a person who designed a house. فَأَجْمَلَهُ وَأَحْسَنَهُ. He beautified the house and people started coming, يطوفون به, you know, walking around the house, ويعجبون له, people were impressed by the house. However, one brick in one corner of the house was left incomplete. So people even made the comment, what a wonderful, beautiful, elaborate house. Only if this final brick could be added to complete this building, it would have just enhanced the beauty of this building. The Nabi of Allah said, I am that final brick to complete the house of Prophethood. I am that final brick. Anal Mahi, I am Mahi, that person through whom Allah will erase and remove kufr. And I am Aqib, after whom there is no Nabi to come. So we find this fitna had started in the very time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just to make mention of few aspects of where people laid claim to prophethood in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, the likes of Aswad Anasi. He had actually laid claim to prophethood during the noble life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi alayhi salam had sent Sahaba. And in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this false prophet was dealt with, and he was killed and assassinated. The famous person who we always speak about, who we know, was Musaylama bin Habib, Musaylama Kadhab, who had also laid claim to prophethood. After the conquest of Makkah, he had actually accepted Islam. And toward the latter part of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, he came. And he told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, is it possible that we can go into partnership in prophethood? Brothers, you will listen to things and you will laugh, especially about Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, which makes the focus of our topic. A person that had a very low IQ, a person that did not excel in neither in academics nor in Islamiyat, but was an ideal tool for the enemies of Islam to promote their agenda in the name of Islam under noble slogans. A person who had nothing, who was born in a house as a pauper, lived a poor life, no intellect. In fact, even in his intelligence, as I will make mention of, he was very weak. Yet they found him as an ideal tool to promote this and to work within the Muslim Ummah. Brothers, there are many fitnas that are coming. Just yesterday, one brother brought one article to me, and he says, Maulana, they were circulating this and they dropped it off at my surgery. A debate between a Muslim in literature, a very intellectual debate, very academic debate between a Muslim and a Christian regarding Isa alayhi salam. That, you know, if you read it, for a person that is not sound in Islamic knowledge, and number one, not sound in his iman, wallah, this literature is detrimental. More so when many of our children attend these schools, where the interaction with non-Muslims are more. So, you know, just to touch on one aspect, he says, my brother, you say you're a Muslim, correct. You believe in one Allah who is omnipresent, precise. You don't believe in any other objects or idols, correct. Why does significant amount of your month center around the sighting of the moon? Are you then not worshipping the moon and revering the moon? While Abraham denies, فَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلُ رَآ كَوْكَبًا, when he seen the stars and he seen the moon, and he said, this is not my deity. Something that disappears cannot be my Allah. So the first question posed there, in literature, very, very diplomatic, very subtle. You say that you believe in one Allah. Second question, you don't worship stone, you don't revere stone. But your entire essence of circumambulation is around one house made of stone also. Correct. Number three, you say that your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most noblest of mankind. Was it not that his third wife, Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha, was at the age of 8 or 9 when she came in the wedlock of Nabi alayhi salam? In my country, if someone gets married to a child of that tender age, we term it as child abuse and he'll be put in prison. Now this is literature, it just came to me and he says, Maulana, have a look at it and tell the ulama to reply on this. So the point I'm making mention of, brothers, this is one fitna. And this is not exclusive to Pakistan, I will make mention of, even in our country, in Cape Town, the elderly people will bear out, this was much before my time, in the 1960s, we had incidents and isolated cases of Qadianis making their presence known here in this very country. So we find that these fitnas started in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Musaylama, Tulayha Asadi, another person who claimed prophethood. He was initially a fortune teller and then he laid claim to prophethood. A group of Sahaba were dispatched in this direction, and while they were on this expedition, it was in the fatal illness of Nabi alayhi salam, they had to then abandon their mission and return and attend to the burial and the ghusl of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Musaylama's army himself, he had recruited a very large army of approximately 40,000 people. And these false prophets exploited the situation of the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We know the tension. Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha says, وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ نَزَلَ بِأَبِي مَا لَوْ نَزَلَ بِالْجِبَالِ الرَّاسِيَاتِ لَهَا ضَهَا. On the demise of Nabi alayhi salam, the challenge that rested on the shoulders of my father, the catastrophe that came upon the ummah, and the burden that came upon the shoulders of my father was so enormous, was so mammoth, was so colossal. لَوْ نَزَلَ بِالْجِبَالِ الرَّاسِيَاتِ. If that calamity and challenge had to come on the mountains, even the mountains would have shattered into pieces. One was the nomination of the Amir, the dispatching of the Jamaat of Usama bin Zayd, and all these false prophets, they exploited it. Musaylama said, this is the time, there's no prophet, let me go forward. And people started becoming renegades and started embracing this new faith. Immediately arrangements were made. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu emptied Medina. I don't want to digress into the other aspects, just keeping the focus of the false prophets. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu dispatched 11 jamaats, and one of course towards Musaylama. There was another woman that had laid claim to prophethood, a woman by the name of Sajah bint al-Harith. She also laid claim to prophethood. She also exploited the situation. The Quran clearly says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِم مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ. That whenever revelation came, Allah sent it upon males. The likes of وَأُوحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ, where apparent words of revelation has been used. Clearly the commentators explain it refers to inspiration and not revelation. So the Jamaat of Khalid radiallahu anhu was dispatched. Saja, this woman, she had an army of about 4,000. And when the Muslims were sent in this direction to attack, because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu understood the seriousness of this matter. And this is exactly what our Akabirin had seen. And this is for what they had devoted their lives. If you study up until the demise of Nabi alayhi salam, all the battles that were fought had taken the lives of 259 Sahaba. Allah had favored 259 Sahaba with martyrdom up until the life of Nabi alayhi salam. However, in the battles that were fought against the false prophets, just to name the first one, that is against Musaylama after the demise of Nabi alayhi salam, this particular battle itself, although the Muslims seen victory, but it was a major loss that up to 1200 Sahaba were martyred in one battle only. 700 of whom were Huffaz, which then initiated the urgency of the compilation of the Quran, which was another agenda. The point that I'm tying up here with is, this particular sacrifice took a great toll upon the ummah. And with regards to our Akabirin, I will elaborate, up to tens of thousands of people have presented their life in defending the finality of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So brothers, this is not something that we trivialize. This is a great thing. This is a vital component of our iman. When this Jamaat was sent to Musaylama, and this woman Saja, she also realized that the Muslims were to attack her. So they decided to unite their forces. And this is what the Quran says. Perhaps they have their internal differences among themselves, but wallah, they're united against Islam. They are united when it comes to the agenda against Islam. Their motives, their ambitions, their aspirations is one. قَدْ بَدَتِ الْبَغْضَاءُ مِنْ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَمَا تُخْفِي صُدُورُهُمْ أَكْبَرُ. Their enmity is evident from their speech. However, what the heart conceals is much more than what the tongue reveals. So they teamed up together, and it was at this time, again, something that will sound laughable, when they teamed up, and they said, collectively, we will now fight the Muslims, and after we overthrow the Muslims, we will make Medina our base, and then we will share prophethood between this man and this woman. And then they said, just to unite our motives, why don't we get married? So this false prophet got married to this false woman that was a prophet. But the irony of the whole thing, when it came to the issue of dowry, and this is mentioned in our, you know, basic Jamia textbook kitabs, when it came to the aspect of dowry, Musaylama in his followers had retained five times, he had three namazes. That was Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Fajr and Isha. He had pardoned his followers for that. He says, you don't have to perform Fajr and Isha. With regards to this woman, Saja, who had laid claim to prophethood, she says, no, five times salah you will have to pray. However, you can consume wine and you can even eat pork, it's not a problem. So when he got married to this woman, then he said, my dowry to you is, I will waive two salah from your followers also. That is, just as my followers don't perform Fajr and Isha,
That is my dowry to your followers also. So from today, your followers can also enjoy the privilege of being exempted from Fajr and Isha. Nevertheless, they got married, and a very ferocious battle took place between the Muslims and Musaylama. And history bears testimony to this fact that many lives were lost. 700 Huffaz brothers. Can we imagine what a great battle this was? This is just immediately after the demise of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَتَحَصَّنُوا بِعَالِ جُدْرَانِهَا. They took shelter in one orchard. And a sahabi by the name of Bara radiallahu anhu, when he came and they understood the seriousness of this particular fitna, he addressed his companions in the midst of the battle and he said, Ya Qawm, when they took shelter in this fort which had high walls, the Muslims could not penetrate this fort, but of course inside was one false prophet. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr said that kill him and come. Hazrat Bara radiallahu anhu said, Ya Qawm, da'uni ala tursin, warfa'u tursa bil rimah, thumma qdifuni qareeban min babiha, فَإِمَّا أَنْ أُسْتَشْهَدْ وَإِمَّا أَنْ أَفْتَحْ لَكُمُ الْبَابِ. That you, all of you put together, put me on a shield, and then you lift the shield with your spears, and bring me to this fort, and lift me as high as you can, and then you drop me inside. As soon as I fall, either I will enjoy martyrdom as soon as I collapse, or I will get fatally injured, but I will succeed in opening the door. But we need to put an end to the fitna of false prophets. Brothers, this is presenting yourself. When we speak of martyrdom operations, then we find the likes in among Sahaba Ikram. Sahaba got ready and they lifted him and they dropped him in this fort. فَنَزَلَ نُزُولَ السَّاعِقَةِ. He fell like lightning and immediately he managed to open the door. Sahaba came barging through. Few Sahaba took him one side, seen to him, and Sahaba went inside. And history bears testimony. One Sahabi risked his life. 20,000 kuffar died in that very same orchard. That history now refers to it as Hadiqatul Maut, the garden of death where so many people. And Hazrat Wahshi radiallahu anhu had the opportunity of killing and assassinating this evil, wretched person, Musaylama Kadhab. So brothers, this is among in the time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Amman, the people they took to the Prophet called Laqit bin Malik. Again, Sahaba were dispatched there to make effort in that direction and bring the conditions under normality. So this started in the very time of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the prophecies of Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is to continue till the day of Qiyamah. We are living in such a time. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu used to say, معروف زماننا منكر زمان قد مضى ومنكره معروف زمان لم يأتي. معروف زماننا منكر زمان قد مضى. What you and I consider as noble in our times was considered a vice in the previous times. And what we consider today as a معروف زماننا منكر زمان قد مضى ومنكره معروف زمان لم يأتي. And what we consider as evil and as a vice will be taken as piety in the generations to come. With regards to the fitna of Qadianiyat, which started in Pakistan but of course spread, Hadi Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahimahumullah, nawar Allahu marqadahu, Allah fill his grave with noor, one day sitting in Makkah Mukarrama, addressing one of the eminent scholars of India, of Punjab, from where this evil person came, Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, one day told him, Maulana Muhammad Mohar Ali Shah Golrawi rahmatullah alayh, this was the name of this great scholar. One day Haji Sahib rahmatullah alayh told him, I foresee a great fitna to start in Punjab. And I hope strongly from Allah that Allah will aid you and endow you to suppress this fitna. So coupled with the prophecies of Nabi alayhi salam and the inspirations of our ulama ikram and ilham, from time to time, this was already expected and foreseen. The fitna started, this person was born, as is written and documented, in 1839. I made mention that he was born in a house of total poverty. He had absolutely nothing. In fact, Maulana Abu al-Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi, a prolific author, has made mention in his kitab, speaking about how weak-minded he was. He says he was so weak in his intelligence, physically in his health also. He was very unstable, a very nervous person. He had a major problem in differentiating between right and left. His mother had to mark his shoes. This is your right one and this is your left one. Furthermore, this is what Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayhi has made mention of. Brothers, it is these very same people that the enemies are making their tools of promoting evil. When he had to see time, he used to take out his watch and he couldn't read time. He had to count 1, 2, 3, 4. And then finally get to the point when he tried to identify the time. But he couldn't just see time and read it. He was a very sickly person also. Mawlana has also made mention in his kitab, he suffered severe urine problems. Up to 100 times a day he used to go to toilet, this he himself has mentioned. But you, brothers, this is the weakness of the man. But you will be astounded to hear the fitna he has caused in the dunya. This is who he was, and this is how weak and feeble he was, apparently. Yet it was this very same person who had caused so much fitna in the dunya. Other than that, much is not known about his early life. They're saying he studied, but he failed. He was not intelligent in academics, nor in Islamiyat. He made his first presence, you know, public appearance, round about 1879, 40 years. That is the time he made his public appearance. And he initially portrayed himself as a defender of Islam, under very noble slogans, Khadim. In fact, Hazrat Maulana has made mention of it in his kitab, that he started off as a Khadim, then he started off as a Muballigh, then he called himself a Mujaddid, then he called himself a Mahdi, then he said he's Masih, then he said he's Dhilla Nabi, then he said Nabi, and he went beyond that to claim divinity also. So initially he said, you know, I'm a humble servant, and my aim and object is to aid Islam, to promote Islam as a servant of Islam. Gradually from that, the next step, he says, no, I'm a preacher. And as he started gaining fame, he took that title up himself from a preacher, and he said, I'm a reformer. And then he said, I'm the promised Messiah, the promised Isa, I am that person. And then he said, I'm a successor of a prophet. Nay, I'm a prophet, but instead I'm Muhammad himself. He went on to say, reference in this ayat, وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Where Allah speaks of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, reference in these verses are to myself and I'm making my second appearance on the earth. Brother, something comes to mind. While you and I sit here, we wonder, how can people be so naive, so gullible, to just fall behind such fitnas? I recall one of my asatiza one day made mention in Dars that many a times when we hear of the fitna of Dajjal, we satisfy ourselves by saying the Nabi of Allah has given his physical description, innahu ahwar wa inna rabbakum laysa bi ahwar, that he is one-eyed and your Allah is not one-eyed, and he will come like this and he will cause this. So when we will see him, we will spot him, we will find he fits the description of the hadith, and we will identify him and say, this is the Dajjal, distance yourself. We many a times satisfy and soothe our ego that we are safeguarded against this fitna because we have sufficient knowledge. He used to say, this is a delusion and a deception. Which man doesn't know the fitna of this time is woman? Which man doesn't know the fitna of this time is wealth? When we see that man tempting us with haram dealing, do we look at him, this is the man my Nabi had prophesied. This is what my Nabi said. In fact, I just read the hadith this morning. No, we will read the hadith, yet we will fall prey to the temptation. At that time, we are blinded with the lust and the crave of money. In the very same way, while you and I sit here and wonder, such a naive man, such an evil man, how can people take to his teachings? How can people follow him? رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا. One of the du'as of Nabi alayhi salam, oh Allah, don't deviate my heart after you've guided me. Sahaba said, أَتَخَافُ عَلَيْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Oh Nabi of Allah, you repeatedly ask in Allah consistency. Do you fear we will desert you, abandon you? We with you, we will die with you. The Nabi of Allah says, إِنَّ الْقُلُوبَ بَيْنَ إِصْبَعَيْنِ مِنْ أَصَابِعِ الرَّحْمَانِ يُقَلِّبُهَا كَيْفَ يَشَاء. Oh my Sahaba, I accept what you say, but it is not as easy as you say. The hearts are in the control of Allah. He can turn the heart of any human at any time. So brothers, we must make dua to Allah that while Allah has guarded us, Allah keep us on the truth. Say Ameen, brothers. Ameen. Allah keep us on the truth in the manner that Allah wants us. Nevertheless, we were speaking about this person. As he grew up in this way, in 1879, he then said he is a reformer, then he said he is a prophet. And he had also accused Nabi alayhi salam and the Sahaba of eating cheese which had pork in it, and he says Sahaba were acquainted and familiar, yet they deliberately ate from it. These were the accusations he had leveled against the noble personality of Nabi alayhi salam. Hence our ulama did not hesitate in issuing the decree of his kufr. Initially, the ulama, when he just started, of course, portraying himself as a servant of Islam, as a muballigh, as a da'i, there was some reservation and skepticism. But as soon as he made these claims, immediately the general decree came of his kufr. He then said that he's going to compile a kitab, which he termed as Barahin-e-Ahmadiyya, in which he was going to compile all the proofs of his religion and his following, and then he gets divine inspiration. He made many prophecies, not one materialized. He made many prophecies. Whenever anyone denied, he said, this man will die an evil death, and he will die before me. All of them once died a noble death, and they lived beyond him. He made a lot of prophecies, none of the prophecies materialized. So he started compiling these books, which took him 20 odd years. Finally, he compiled 4 volumes. And in that, he speaks of weird, weird things. Then he gets revelation and he gets inspiration. And he was told, when he wanted to get married to someone, then he says, the Lord Almighty has inspired me that you must give your daughter to me in nikah. And if you don't give it, your daughter will die a miserable death. This was the types of statements he made. He compiled 4, and there was delay he had said he will compile 50. He only compiled 4, and naturally out of resources, and after many years he then compiled the 5th one, and he said, I had initially said I will compile 50, but since the difference between 5 and 50 is only a 0, so I have done it. This also Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali has made mention of. The difference between 50 volumes and 5 volumes is only 10, so I have hit my target and I have compiled 50 volumes essentially. When this fitna started, brothers, among the senior akabirin in Pakistan who took an active role in removing this fitna were the likes of, as Mawlana had made mention of, just to make mention of a few, otherwise many, many akabirin had taken an active role, and immediately a party was formed keeping in mind the serious outcome of this particular fitna. The likes of Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullah alayh, Mawlana Murtada Hasan Chandpuri rahmatullah alayh, Mawlana Badri Alam Mirati rahmatullah alayh, Qadi Sanaullah Amrat Sari rahmatullah alayh, and in the recent akabirin, Mawlana Idris Kandalwi rahmatullah alayh, Mawlana Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayh, Shah Taullah Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, and many, many other akabirin. Mawlana Muhammad Ali Mohar Ali Shah Golrawi rahmatullah alayh, Mawlana Muhammad Ali Jalandri rahmatullah alayh, these were akabirin who had presented their lives. As I will make mention of just few incidents, understanding the severity of this challenge, wallah, they had presented their lives. One particular incident, when this fitna started, and a lot of people started accepting this, accepting this new fold of Qadianiyat. And of course, there's a lot of concession in this particular teachings, and a lot of false claims and allegations and many other things, and people started flocking towards him. And this very person, one of the things that really made him go deeper into his evil was the fame that he got. They say fame, if you can't control it, it becomes a flame and it burns the very person. Fame, if you don't know how to control it, it becomes a flame. He gained a lot of fame because he was born in a very poor family. He had no money. And another thing, his father was very faithful to the British government. This was one of the reasons why they had selected him. In fact, in Tiryakul Qulub on page 25, it is written, he himself says, I had compiled so much literature regarding loyalty to the British government and regarding the impermissibility of jihad. These were the two aspects. The British had taken him on to promote 2 agendas. One is loyalty to the British government, compliance to them in every aspect of life, and number 2, impermissibility of jihad. Jihad is impermissible, jihad is unlawful, jihad is barbaric, jihad is bloodthirsty, the Muslims are violent. He says, I have compiled so much literature on this particular topic in Tiryakul Qulub, it is written, that if all my literature is gathered, it will fill 50 shelves, just on loyalty to the British government. His father was responsible of funding the British government against the Muslims. So he had a trace of hypocrisy in his lineage. Hence he was the ideal tool for the enemies of Islam. in every aspect, loyalty and faithfulness to the British government. One incident, as I was making mention of, that the ulama had then passed the decree that whoever becomes a Qadiani is a kafir. And unfortunately, many people came into influential positions in the government as Qadianis. In other words, when the separation took place in India and Pakistan, the petition, then many seats were afforded to people who had taken to the faith of Qadianiyat. And hence, they exploited the position that they had in parliament to promote Qadianiyat. There was a case in 1926. He apparently died in 1908, and he died out of severe diarrhea also. The last discussion he had was with his father-in-law. That also is it's a laughable story, brothers. Every aspect of his life. In 1926, there was a case that presented in Bahawalpur, where one person by the name of Abdul Razak had become a Qadiani. Hence his wife came to the court there, and she asked for annulment of marriage, because my husband has now become murtad according to me and according to the vast majority of the ulama. So this case gained a lot of prominence amongst the people, because this is the time it was very contentious, and from both sides ulama were becoming active, especially from our side. The ulama had, you know, taken up this as the foremost at the top of the agenda. And a lot of investigation took place in this case from 1926 right up until 1935. Finally, it was resolved that this woman is correct and annulment will take place because the husband has turned renegade, and immediately nikah terminates. In this interim, Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali was called from India, who was of course at that time in Dabel. Allahu Akbar. This is the likes of our akabirin. Ulaika abai faji'ni bimithlihim ya jariru idha jama'atna al-majami'u. These are our ancestors. Wallah, who took up to defend every fitna and revived the likes of Abu Bakr, who said, لَوِخْتَتَفَتْنِي الْكِلَابُ وَالذِّئَابُ. That when the fitna came in Medina Munawwara, he said, the dogs of Medina can bite on the body of Abu Bakr, but Abu Bakr will not tolerate this adjustment taking place in deen. Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah left Dabel and he came. And then he says, I had a lot of engagements, but when this aspect of the Khatm-e-Nubuwwat came to light, I thought to myself, these are the words that Hazrat has made mention of in his kitab, वैसे भी मेरे नामे आमाल सिया है. As it is, my good deeds, my book of deeds are devoid of any noble actions. Perhaps responding in this crucial hour to defend the finality of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and assist one woman who is in these moments of desperation could be the ultimate good deed in the eyes of Allah, which can make a favorable decision for me on the day of Qiyamah. He then came to Dabel and he made a statement. He said, I swear by Allah, if the ulama and the people will not stand up to defend and explain the termination and the finality of the Nabuwat of Nabi alayhi salam, the dogs walking in this city and this village is better than me. If I will not stand up with this agenda at mind and keeping this priority, then the dogs walking here are better than me. Then in this debate, I just want to highlight few aspects. Hazrat Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah addressing one Mirzai, one Qadiani in the court. He came into a state of ecstasy. And then he said, I swear by Allah, if you want, while you are standing, I can convince you, and not only convince you, but show you with your naked eye that Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani is burning in Jahannam. I swear by Allah, standing in this court, I can not only show you or not only convince you, but make a visual appearance before you to see. This was of course in 1935 and he had died in 1908. They say the believers that were there was takbir, and they in one voice said that, oh Qadiani, let it be known to you, this is not Anwar Shah speaking, this is Naib of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking. This is not the man you are seeing, this is the representative of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is speaking. Brothers, to just go ahead, as this time went on and the ulama became very involved, because many jalsas were taking place. This person, in 1952, Zafrullah Qadiani, who had been made the foreign minister of Pakistan, he really blew the situation out of proportion. And he's the very same person who had come to our country back in Cape Town in the 1960s. And he had planted the seed of Qadianism in our very country. And Allah give jazai khair to our ulama and the ulama of Cape Town who stood their ground to say that a Qadiani is a kafir, hence he will not come in our masajid, we will not perform janaza namaz over him, and he will not enjoy the privilege of being buried in our graveyards. Maulana Yusuf Ludani rahmatullah alayhi also came, and these cases carried on for months. May Allah reward them a befitting reward for the ground they stood that has made the aspect easy for us. When he became the Minister of Foreign Affairs, he really started exploiting and promoting Qadianiyat. At that time, a focus went on to Shah Ataullah Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, and under auspices and under the leadership and the tutorship of this great orator of Islam. I personally once was sitting with Maulana Sayyid Ahmed Khan Sahib Muhajir Madani rahimahumullah, and he said, never in my life have I ever seen a greater orator than the like of Shah Ataullah Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. Such a great orator, and in his talks people used to sit for hours. He spoke against Qadianism openly. Hazrat was then made the Amir, and it was in this interim, as recorded in the Kitab, that many battles took place where up to 10,000 Muslims had presented their lives. Brothers, up to 10,000 Muslims had presented their lives, up to 100,000 Muslims were present, and 1 million Muslims were affected in Pakistan and globally in this period. This was close to the 1970s. After that, I'm just touching briefly on 2-3 other aspects. After that, moving onwards, in the 1970s, after this great challenge had come and so many lives were lost or presented for the defending the Khatm-e-Nubuwwat of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to put an end to this, Shah Allahu Akbar, Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Alayhi said that this fitna has spread, but inshallah we will fight so much that a time will come in this dunya you can travel the whole world, you will not even find the odor of Qadianiyat, never mind finding a person who believes in this mazhab. And inshallah the time is coming in relation to the sacrifice of our Akabirin. The sacrifice that they presented in the 1970s, some students were traveling to the medical college in Multan, and again these Qadianis came and launched an attack, which then created a fresh series of dispute between them. And again the Ummat was desperate for a leader, and as Maulana mentioned, they then came to the noble personality of Maulana Muhammad Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi, who accepted the position on condition that Hazrat Maulana Khaja Muhammad Khan Sahib maddallahu hayatahu bi sihhati wal afiyah, that he be made the vice president, then and then only will he take this honorable position. So hence from time to time the ulama had presented their lives. Maulana Muhammad Ali Jalandhari rahmatullah alayhi, in this interim, there was such uneasiness and such worry among the ulama that he was one day standing at the station and waiting to catch a train. So he went, he seen some people all the time, you know, compiling literature, making an effort to clean the hearts of people that this is a fitna that is coming, to caution people, to curtail them against this evil fitna. He went to the person selling tea there and he says, have you heard about Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani? Have you heard about this man? So he says, no, I haven't heard about him, and nothing in my village we've heard about it. He says, okay, do me a favor, this is my name, this is my address. If this fitna ever comes to you at any time of your life, be it 12 o'clock in the night, immediately phone me and inshallah I will come to help you and defend you. Such was the worry and the concern. This person took the address of Maulana Muhammad Ali Jalandhari rahmatullah alayh and went back to his village, and in due time, 2 years later, this fitna had come and people came. He immediately contacted Maulana. Maulana responded. Brothers, they responded for these jalsas in such a way. Mention is made of Maulana Ghulam Ghaz Hazarvi rahmatullah alayh, that in one particular jalsa of Khatm-e-Nubuwwat, Allahu Akbar, sayadillu ibratan liman arada an yadhakkara aw arada shukura. What thought-provoking contribution our ancestors have made. It was the time when this jalsa was decided, and debates were held continuously. Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani with him, many debates, and later on with those that succeeded him. The jalsa was held in the honor that Hazrat Maulana Ghulam Ghaz Hazarvi rahmatullah alayhi will come. At that very time, what a test came upon him. Hazrat only had one son and his son passed away. Brothers, it is written, he became emotional, which father won't become emotional. He cried and then he said, Burial can be arranged by someone else, but I have to be present at this jalsa. You people go ahead and bury my son, I will be part of that jalsa. He had only one son. He was not present in the janaza of his own son, defending this aspect of Khatm Nubuwwat. Mention is made of Mawlana Ahmad Ali Lahori rahmatullah alayh, that on one instance there was a jalsa taking place in this regard. And Hazrat was called. He was terminally ill. He was paralyzed. He could not move. He said, just lift me on a bed and put my bed on that stage, that at least my presence can motivate and encourage the believers. So there was a collective spirit from our ulama ikram in every regard to see how they can eliminate and remove and destroy this fitna. And then, as I mentioned, towards the 1970s, Azhar Mawlana Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi took over, and 3 years only, and after that he passed on. But definitely he has made his contribution, and inshallah, as one alim has written, that those ulama that have played an active role, we strongly hope from Allah Ta'ala that their contribution in this regard will be sufficient to secure their abodes in Jannah. Say Ameen, brothers. Brothers, in conclusion, much time has been taken. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we become conscious. These are the fitnas that are coming. The Nabi of Allah said, "Aral fitan taqa'u khilana buyutikum ka waq'il matar." Many, many fitnas the Nabi of Allah said. And the Nabi of Allah had said that this fitna of false prophets will come. In fact, with regards to one hadith, Nabi alayhi salam says, 30 people will come and claim prophethood. And the Nabi of Allah said, among them is Musaylama, among them is Anasi, among them is Mukhtar. The Nabi of Allah made emphatic mention, explicit mention of the names, that people like this will come on this earth, corrupt the hearts and the minds of people, and will cause chaos in this dunya. As we know, while every man anticipates and anxiously awaits the golden era of Imam Mahdi, let us not forget that era is coupled with the evil Dajjal. While we hope and rejoice and celebrate and anticipate and always tell that the promised man is coming and he will guide us to success and he will guide us to salvation, let us not forget that evil, that very error will be coupled with an evil fitna. May Allah Ta'ala give barakah to our akabirin and accept their endeavors that they have contributed in this way. And as Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayh had made this statement, we make dua to the Almighty Allah that we see this in our lives, that the fitna of Qadiyaniyat is destroyed totally, and all other fitnas that are coming in this world, may Allah Ta'ala suppress it totally. Brothers, as I mentioned, another aspect of this year was loyalty to the British government. This was one of the very significant aspects. Faithfulness, compliance to the British. Ghulam Ahmed Qadiani had written extensively on this. Mawlana Yusuf, Azadji Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullahi used to say, Allahumma akhrijil yahudiyata wal nasraniyata awwalan an qulubil muslimin. Oh Allah, before removing the Yahud and the Nasara from the lands of the Muslim, remove Judaism and Christianity from the hearts of the Muslims. Wallah, brothers, if they leave Makkah and Medina, but they reside in our homes, they have an abode in our homes, then what have we achieved? لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ ذِرَاعًا بِذِرَاعٍ حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا جُحْرَ ضَبٍ لَاتَّبَعْتُمُوهُمْ قَالُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ فَمَنْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. May Allah Ta'ala inspire us with the correct understanding of deen. Keep us on the correct way. Save us from all these evil fitnas. I made mention of even in our maktab syllabus. In fact, in the Aqaid book, I think it's class 8, the final chapter of our Jamiat syllabus, of the final section in the Aqaid of book 8, exclusively dedicated to Qadiyanism. The entire chapter on the last in Aqaid. Why I'm making mention of this, brothers? Many a times we think we can substitute what is taught in the madaris at home. What you need to learn? Quran, surah, duas, then I can teach you. These fitnas, the challenges, the prophecies, and how we should prepare and equip ourselves against these fitnas. These are the things that are taught in these madaris to save the iman of our generation. So brothers, let us be conscious. Let us be particular. Let us take this into cognizance. Let us not be naive that this is unheard of and it is not happening in our surroundings. These fitnas are coming and making their appearance in our country and throughout the dunya. May Allah protect us and remove it from this world and bring that day which the Nabi of Allah said, لَيَبْلُغَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ مَا بَلَغَ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ. that just as the night and the day covers the entire world, my Allah has promised my deen in its correct, original, pristine form will also cover the entire world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
For all your CD needs, contact Simtek Islamic CDs 031-304-6165 or 082-500-9111. Simtek Islamic CDs, manufacturers and distributors of Islamic audio and media CDs.
Beware of fraudulent copies of this and other media products. Fraudulent copies prevent and destroy the possibility of future productions. Help us to continue providing you with digital media products. Buy a genuine copy.
For all your CD needs, contact Simtek Islamic CDs 082-500-9111. Simtek Islamic CDs, manufacturers and distributors of Islamic audio and media CDs.